You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. How's it going? I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Juicy Cogburn and Drew.
What up?
How you doing, dude?
Doing.
We are hanging out in the Crespediso studio, a full studio, because we have one of our favorite guests. It is his seventh time on the show. Last time he was here was episode 201, right after the election, and that had a very serious, intense tone to that episode. Especially, I remember in the room that day, was a lot of people were very not happy with the whole election thing.
So, dude, it's been a shit show.
It's been a shit show ever since. We were right to be upset about it. So, proving ourselves right. Here we are 6 months later we are joined by, if you see the title of the episode, you know, I don't know why I'm still building this up. You know exactly who's here, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Cool Carl Verna, the Video Verna is here. That's right.
What's up, Cinema Crespo people?
How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing really great.
You got your whole crew here. You got the mic and the mic. You got the mic and mic.
I got the mic and mic.
Not ESPN mic and mic. This mic and mic still together, and they look like they're happy together too. So that's good. Yeah. That's very good. And Ron, right?
And Ron is
nice
here
to see
as well.
Ron. Very cool.
Yep. That makes for awesome like podcast radio right there. People are like, who, Mike and Mike?
Yeah, there's Ron. A Mike and Mike here. And Ron.
Random people.
Those are actually all famous radio names too. Mike and Mike and Ron. There's a couple of very famous Rons. Yeah, no, that's we have Mike
and they
Mike
are
and
here.
Here in studio.
They are here.
You guys can't hear. You don't have headphones, but you're getting a round of applause right now. Everyone at home can hear it, that's for sure.
Yeah, they definitely can.
Carl, thank you for coming on, man. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
It's always good seeing you.
Always good to see you guys, man.
And I wanted to do something a little special with you. Only done this with a couple of people, really. Going over like career stuff. Like Tom the Beer Guy, we've had him in. We've gone over his career.
Okay, cool.
Because he's done a lot of crazy stuff before beer. Like he was on the set of Lethal Weapon 3 over here in downtown.
Oh, wow.
Carrying bags of gasoline by Mel Gibson. Being like, where's the safety regulations? They're not here.
And nobody cares.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And when they
blew up the court building?
Yeah.
Who's part of that?
And Tom said, I think that was episode 20. You can go back and hear that. Well, that's a long time ago 2013. He said that they obviously miscalculated the force of the explosion. And so what happened was they had built the new City Hall right behind Old City Hall. So when they blew up the building, the explosion was so big, it blew out all the windows on the front side of New City Hall. And they had to redo all the windows in the old front because they fucked it up.
Yes, because the show must go on. Mm. We got to do that thing with the movies. I was there.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was in film school then.
And were you?
I was on a roof across the street.
Okay, I was about to ask your location. Because I'm now remembering another frequent guest of the show, Chico. He was there checking out the filming.
Yeah.
He was like a teenager at the time, right? I think maybe he was there with his dad. And they were on the street right there on Orange Avenue, right there.
Yeah.
So then the building collapses. The dust cloud starts coming towards them. And they're looking at this dust cloud like, I don't think we should be standing right here. And there were tons of people right there. They did not map out the distance at all. Apparently, it was a bit of a shit show, the Lethal Weapon 3 shoot.
You know what?
Orlando.
From our vantage point, we thought it went smoothly.
Really?
I did not know any of this.
Perspective is key, man. Perspective is very important. That's so funny.
Wow, that's wild.
But yeah, so I wanted to have you here because you've been here a bunch of times and we've done the regular show with you a bunch of times. So now I want to talk to you about your career in so much as I would like to know how you got started, how you progressed through the years. And also I'm hoping that you would then give, even by accident, words of advice or some direction to a lot of our listeners. Because a lot of people that listen are younger people, people in their 20s, and they're trying to get their foot in the door in many different ways.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, you're quite the accomplished music video director on top of other things. You spent time at SNL. Yeah. You've worked with Hype Williams. Yeah. You're still doing music videos with very, very popular artists.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to even get a whiff of a career like that, maybe they should listen closely for the next 20 or 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, well, you just said it all, man. I don't have to say anything else. I don't even know what else to say.
I know you started SNL, right? When was SNL?
Well, look, you know what's really interesting is I never growing up in New York City, you grew up in a bubble.
Yeah, so it's a weird bubble, but it's a
weird
bubble.
So yeah. You think everything around you is just regular life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You think it's normal to, oh, I'm going to go to NBC Studio.
Yeah, or, you're not thinking, oh my God. Like, you don't.
I'm with you on that.
You don't see the perspective of this is a show that's watched worldwide that has this insane history.
Yeah.
You're just kind of like, yeah, it's cool. I hear people talking about it. We watch it every now and then. We make jokes about
it. It's our local TV show, and then I can make it a job. Opposed to it's SNL.
Which is
ridiculous.
And so the story doesn't even start at SNL.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, how did you get there?
Look, growing up in New York City, and I'm going to date myself.
Okay, so first off, everyone, make sure you grow up in New York City.
New York, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn helps.
Right? Well, now, specifically.
Brooklyn's been all gentrified now,
can't afford that now.
You can't afford it. No, now it's the boogie down Bronx, or you're stuck in Jamaica, Queens, or it's brutal out there now.
Yo, Brooklyn back in the day for me was Italians, Irish.
Yeah.
And Hasidic Jews.
Sure, yeah.
And West Indians, which I was part of that West Indian Caribbean community.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Now we're getting too local. Is that like Ocean Parkway area
over
there?
Crown Heights.
Okay, yeah.
It's Crown Heights area.
Modest Yahoo. All
right, what's up? But Modest, people don't even, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we happened to be in a neighborhood that just happened to have a lot of talented people.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like insanely talented people that eventually became famous.
Which is crazy when that happens,
it's
right?
It's just weird.
You hear the stories out like Al Gore was roommates with Tommy Lee Jones.
Stuff like
what?
That. Yeah.
Not one famous person, but two famous people living in the same room. Doesn't make any sense, right?
But then, you know, when you're in the moment, you have no idea what people are going to become.
What's
gonna
happen. What's going
on. Everybody's just hanging out.
True.
You know what I mean? Doing that thing.
Yep.
And I was trying to be a rapper, but I sucked. I was horrible. Then I tried breakdancing.
Did we all try hand rapping? You ever tried hand rapping, Drew?
I can't rhyme. I can barely.
So you never even bothered trying. You never even bothered. Yeah, no. The mics. Neither of the mics ever tried. Yeah. Yeah. Not. Yeah. No. Mike Jr. Ron rapping. You're a composer.
Mike Jr.'s business. He's like I see future Steve Stout, like a mogul in the record business.
Oh no, he's not the rapper. He's the Suge Knight.
He's
hanging motherfuckers out windows. Is that what's going on?
I thought that's how you do business
from the balcony.
Yeah, from the balcony. That's the office. Step into my office. Like, no. Pull back the glass door. So you're growing up in Brooklyn. Lots of famous people around you.
Right. People that weren't famous yet. But everybody had the
talented
love.
Talented people, I meant to say.
Yeah, super talented people, no doubt. All have the love for hip-hop, right?
Okay.
And if you ever see The Get Down, that's pretty much the beginnings of my life.
Okay.
That era of discovering that two turntables can make a beat. And that the MC becoming the focal point ahead of the DJ, like I lived through that whole era, Sugar Hill Gang.
Okay.
Pre-Rapper's Delight.
Yeah.
So it was experimental. It was a cauldron of all kinds of stuff. Like every day it's like, wow, did you see this?
Truly like a New York City art form. Yeah. That's crazy.
It was really a cauldron of creativity.
Okay.
Because of the conditions of the city.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was just... When you're around mass destruction and poverty, and you're just going to find a way to entertain yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Or as an artist, channel that into something, an art. That's how hip-hop was born.
So my brother and I are kind of like the Huxtable version of that world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't say Huxtable. Don't say Huxtable. Not anymore.
They were hood adjacent.
Right.
The hood's a block that way. The white people are a block that way. I'm right here. What's up?
That's exactly what I mean. You cross the street and it's bad hood.
Sure. Yeah.
Then you go back on the street, it's brownstones.
Yeah, that's true.
So our friends were from all over. Mm-hmm. And so it was, like I said, a weird mix because my friends that had money could afford equipment and turntables.
Sure.
And my friends that didn't have money, right, they needed that.
They were the talented ones.
And and so the mix came naturally, organically.
Okay.
And it was right at the time when people just really were getting over gangs and everything. So now there's creativity in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother and I are introduced to people that are in our neighborhoods that are making records.
Okay.
So the idea that you could... communicate your art to a mass group of people wasn't alien to us. You know what I mean? It was just regular.
Especially at that time where this is obviously pre-YouTube, pre-internet, pre-social media, where now everyone feels like they have, they're entitled to a platform and an audience. Like, this is me and above, and I can reach the whole world. At that time, how do you reach the world? You got to put an ad in the paper, in papers around the country?
And it's funny. No doubt. Flyers.
Yeah.
Mixtapes.
Yeah.
But you're not even really thinking about contacting the world. You just think you just want to be the dopest on your block.
Yeah, you got just the neighborhood. Yeah,
yeah, it's the neighborhood, true. And then the person that's the dopest on the block, it goes spreads.
True. Yeah, yeah.
And it's literally word of mouth.
Yeah,
people hanging out in the lunchrooms, corners, whatever the case may be. So fast forward to
Smash Cut 2.
Yeah. So fast forward, just a quick recap how I, because you mentioned SNL. So the road to SNL is pretty interesting for me.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Because it wasn't never planned.
Which is, just, isn't that funny how that works? Yeah. Okay, so you didn't plan that. How did you stumble into that then?
Because I you know, the Navy sounded good to me.
Okay.
Because I can get the hell out of Dodge.
Sure.
And I could see the world. I believe the hype, right?
Get some money, see the world.
Yeah, I was totally American. Into that. I was like, I want to bounce, and this is the best way to do it.
Sure.
And so I end up in Orlando, Florida, right? In the 80s, 1985.
No way, wow.
Right?
Okay.
And I end up, December 17th, 1985, I'm at NTC Orlando and RTC Orlando. So I do boot camp here.
Okay.
Right? And then...
Is that still here?
No, it's Baldwin Park right now.
I was going to ask. So that base that they tore down is now Baldwin Park. Okay.
It's Baldwin Park.
When I moved here in 2000, the base was closed down, but it was still like fenced off and the buildings were like torn down. You can still sort of see it.
I always wonder like what that transition was. I think about that. But so I'm here, do the boot camp thing, and right after boot camp, do basic electronics, right? Because I'm on my way to radar school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in Orlando all the way up until February of the next year.
Okay.
Right? And the crazy thing about basic electronics school is you have to get 100 on every exam.
Really?
If you get one thing wrong, you have to start over. They give you 3 tries, and if you fail the 3rd try, they send you out to the fleet with a bucket and a mop.
Oh, no shit.
And I'm like, sorry.
That sucks. That's brutal.
So the pressure is insane.
Yeah,
like, people are dropping like flies just from the nerves of being shattered.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know.
I guess that's part of the plan, though.
Yeah, you're messing with $1 million radar equipment and you're a kid.
They want the best of the best.
Yeah, I'm 17 at the time. So then from there, radar school in Great Lakes.
Okay.
From radar school in Great Lakes, I realized that I can get away from security and fire watch, which is 24 hours, and you know, you go to sleep at like 9 o'clock and they wake you up at midnight to go, yeah, you got 4 hours, you got to watch the gate.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's your gun, see you later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The shit jobs that no one wants to do in the military. Yeah.
So I found out if I joined the choir, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to do that shit.
Boom, choir it is.
I'm like, fuck it, I could sing.
I could hold a note.
I sang choir at Catholic school at one point in the 8th grade. I can make
that. That's right.
Lo and behold, I actually make it.
There you
go. Second tenor, I'm in the choir.
Nice.
Right? And I start, once again, being reintroduced to being around creative people.
Okay.
So I meet this circle of friends that I end up running into throughout my Navy career.
Mm-hmm.
And at each point, we're like, hey, let's try this. Hey, let's try that. So after radar school, I'm in the Philippines.
Okay.
Right? I'm in the Philippines, and it's right around the time when Top Gun comes out.
Okay.
Right? So all of a sudden, all these American chicks start flooding the Navy. You know what I mean? Because they want to find Tom Cruise. They want to find Goose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They want their Maverick.
And they want their Maverick. Yeah. Exactly. So it was this weird time where the clubs and the bars in the town where the Navy base was at, they were like, we have to cater to an American crowd more, right?
Sure.
And so one night I was at this club, right? And they're playing Walk This Way by Aerosmith. And then when the part came for Run DMC to start rapping, I just ran up on the stage.
Yeah. That's awesome.
My, you know, needless to say, I had some encouragement from some liquids.
Sure, liquid encouragement always helps. That's how karaoke is sustained in America. Yes. No one does sober karaoke. You know who does sober karaoke? Sociopaths.
They're
one step away from killing pets.
I don't want to hang out around those guys.
So exactly. You gotta get drunk before you do that karaoke. So you ran up there.
So I ran up there.
You did the hip hop. You did the Run DMC part.
I'm just out of my mind. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And then I get off the stage and people surround me.
Like a celebrity? Like
yes,
a star?
Like, yo, that was dope. Wow, you gotta do it again next week.
That's awesome.
Even the band is like, yo.
That's
and I'm
awesome.
Like, there's no way I'm ever doing this again.
Even not happening. Like,
but then I got this rep, and then so me and my boys in the Philippines, we started a little crew where we were just DJing. Really, we were just playing mixtapes from New York and from Chicago.
Sure.
We were kind of acting like we were DJing. We
didn't turn the volume up and down a little bit
So, you know, like scam DJ.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, everybody throw your hands up, blah. Right.
Well, these days they just call those DJs.
Exactly.
They're even lazier these days than ever.
So I'm like, hey, this is kind of fun.
Like, yeah, I can give me that aux cord. I'll plug in my laptop.
I like this entertainment stuff.
Yeah, I got Spotify lists. I can DJ a party. Yeah, exactly. give me $100. I'll DJ a party. Yeah. So you're scamming people in the Philippines.
So, well, they were having fun.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They didn't know.
As long as they're having fun.
But at the same time, though, we're getting mixtapes from like authentic from Brooklyn and the Bronx.
Sure. Yeah.
And we're getting music videos from underground video shows in New York, the Bronx, Queens.
Very cool.
And we're playing that in the clubs, and people are like, where the hell are you getting this stuff? Mm-hmm. And I kind of started to put two and two together. I was like, I wonder how they make music videos.
Ah, you know what I mean? Interesting.
How that system works.
Okay.
You know, so that got into my head. Right after that, my brother calls me up, and he's like, yo, you got to read this book. You know what I mean? Spike Lee, She's Gotta Have It.
Mm-hmm.
This dude from Brooklyn is making movies. I was like, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's making movies?
Because to you, that sounds like, what, some guy that's just like me in my neighborhood is
is
doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he could do it, I could do it.
Right.
Right? I had no idea what that meant at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they never do. You never do. When he first, I'm going to make a movie. Yeah, right, exactly. Sure you are. Sure you are.
That's exactly it. But the fascination is there.
Yeah.
And then I see his movies. Now, fast forward, I'm in California.
Okay.
I'm on an aircraft carrier.
Okay.
I meet a guy from Long Island who is an interesting cat. Everybody knows him on the whole ship. He's one of those dudes that's, you know, if you ever go to prison and you need something, he's that guy that gets that thing that
Morgan
you need.
Morgan Freeman and
Freeman. Yeah, sure.
It's like, what do you need? You need cigarettes? I'll get you cigarettes.
Yeah, that's him. You know what I mean? And then one day he says to me, he goes, listen, I need to get up to L.A., and I was like, why? He was like, yeah, we can hang out in L.A. I know this guy, right, who's an actor, right, Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in this movie that's directed by a black director. That was like such a big deal back then. I was like, he's a black director, he's a brother.
Still kind Unfortunately, it's still,
it's still, it's still kind of is.
But did you see the internet blow up and the black trailer drop? People are still like, oh my God, it can still happen.
Trust me, I could go there for days.
Yeah, so can we. That's a whole other episode, brother. That's a whole other
episode. So I'm kind of, and I'm like, man, I wonder if it's that dude from Brooklyn.
Okay, I see.
And I was like, what's his name? And he was like, Spike Lee. I was like, yo, I read about him when I was in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Right? So we actually go to the premiere of Mo Better Blues.
Nice.
And I meet the crew. I meet the Wayans. I meet all kinds of celebrities.
Right? How did you pull that off? Because you knew the guy. Because you knew the actor.
Steve Smith. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Cat knows Steve. They're best friends. They grew up in Roosevelt, Long Island. They used to play tennis together.
Okay, so if you're listening at home, you're paying attention. Step one, grow up in New York. Step two, know someone.
Yes.
Know someone.
Know someone.
Okay. Moving on.
Know someone.
Yeah, so you got to meet... Yeah, did you meet Spike Lee there?
Of course.
Yeah, and what was that like?
I kept it to him. He didn't give a fuck.
Obviously not.
I don't even think he heard the words that were coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, so it was a real brief, like, hi, nice to meet you, honor.
I did all... It was more like, I'm from where you're from, right?
Yeah, connect to him.
Because his brownstone across the street from my high school.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then so I'm like, yo, Fort Greene plays.
Yeah,
nah, not really. But
in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah,
it's very small.
Yeah. I mean, well, communities.
But then it's broken up into communities, so which makes it weird.
Yeah, communities are.
The reason I was asking, because I'm more familiar with the whole Sunset Park area, and back when I knew it was all Puerto Ricans, and then the Chinese were.
But if there was a Puerto Rican Spike Lee, you would know him, or you would know somebody that knew him.
His name is Lin-Manuel Miranda.
There you go.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes, we know all about him. Yeah,
that's what it is.
100%.
So that's how it goes down. Yeah. And but anyway, I meet Leslie Saltis, who was the camera trainee on that movie.
Interesting.
And
what's a camera trainee do?
Basically, you have the camera department, which is headed by the cinematographer.
Yes.
Underneath them is their camera team, is the first AC, second AC.
Right.
And then you'll have a camera PA.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's a trainee.
So it's the camera team gopher person.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And so I meet her, and I'm like, how did you even get involved in a movie? How does that happen? How does that work?
That's the eternal question.
Man. Yeah, and so I'm kicking it with her all night, And my boys are like, yo, he's feeling her. And I'm like, no, honest to God, I want to know what she knows. They're like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, seriously.
It's like, you're trying to get in there. Like, no, I'm just trying to get in.
Yeah, you're trying to get in. Yeah.
Like, no.
Like that.
That's so funny.
Right. So she put the word film school in my head.
Oh.
And it's like, there's a school that teaches you this stuff.
Nice.
And then that just kept ringing in my head. Went back to my ship. And a couple of days later, I'm reading Rolling Stone magazine. In the back of it, there's an ad for the film school that I ended up at.
Which was?
Full Sail, right?
Really? This was 90...
This was 91.
Yeah. Wow, Full Sail goes back that far.
Yeah. No, Full Sail goes back even...
Tiny, though.
I know,
tiny.
It's not what it is now.
Well, I remember Full Sail. I had a cousin who went there 99, 98 for the film program, and I checked out the school then, back when it was like one building, I think. And now it's the entire shopping complex. There's a Chili's in there. It's ridiculous. They got the pawn shop for when the new students come in, and they give them the equipment. They go straight to the pawn shop, and they're like, I got better equipment.
I got better stuff at home.
Yeah. I know how it works. That's where I get all this. That's where I got half this equipment. Anyway.
It's really weird that I end up back in Orlando when I started here at boot camp.
Yeah. Especially since the journey of... in the Navy going all the way around the world is what brought you there. The music videos in the Philippines, the actors and the movie stuff in California all came together because you chose to be a Navy man. Imagine if you like went into the Army or something.
Man. Probably dead.
I wouldn't be alive right now.
Man, totally dead. Yeah.
Or Marine. You'd be a badass hanging out with Jesse Ventura.
Or maybe I'd be a politician. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'd be running for something.
Running for or from something. Or who knows, Carl? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
The many lives of Cool Carl. That's the multiverse, Carl. We're in this universe.
Yeah.
And in this one, you discovered music videos were dope.
Yeah, well,
and film school was a thing.
Yeah.
And then you ended up at Full Sail.
Yeah.
How much time between the end of Navy and going to Full Sail? Like, did you have to, were you saving up? Did it take you some time to think about it? Did you try some other things out first? Or did you, soon as you're out of Navy, you're like, I'm going?
Nah, it was automatic. I saw the ad.
You knew?
It was 1-800-CAN-ROCK. We take your dreams seriously.
That's awesome.
When they said, we take your dreams seriously, I said, yeah, it is a freaking dream right now. It's like, I don't know anybody in the business really.
Truly. Yeah.
And it's just a fantasy.
Yeah.
But if somebody's willing to take it seriously, then I'm going to take them up on it.
For the correct change, anyone will take you seriously, buddy.
Yeah, like, hey, let's rock. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
The package was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blew me away. I was just, wow, I really, the photographs made you want to go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, they've always been good at the marketing.
Yeah. Beautiful situation, totally. Man.
Yeah.
So, I left the Navy in September or August. I think it was like September.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started in October.
So I
drove across the country in 3 days from San Diego to Pensacola.
Nice.
Like 18 hours a day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
No, what's awesome is the dedication, the desire.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's why we're seeing a successful Carl today, because once you did get your sights on it, you're like, this is what I want to do, and you went on it. You didn't pussyfoot around it.
No.
You didn't try to make excuses.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Like, oh, maybe I should wait for the time to be right. You just did it.
Yeah.
Which was smart.
Which is pretty much how I joined the Navy. It was the same kind of situation. I was just like, once I figure out
how you're living your
life, I'm just like, let's just go.
Once it's in your mind, just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Very good.
You know, and I think if there's a lesson to be told is really, I know it's already owned by Nike, but it's really that simple.
Yeah, it really is. They were smart when they got that one. Just do it.
Yeah, it's really that. You'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah, 100%.
You so will.
So did the Full Sail, was that an internship then that got you to SNL? What's the link from Full Sail to SNL? How'd you get back up to New York?
Yeah, that's, once again, that's just pure, I don't know. Like serendipity, or I don't know what you call it, luck,
whatever. Happenstance.
Happenstance.
Yeah.
When I graduated Orlando, I wanted to make it happen here. This was being touted as Orlando East.
Sure, yeah. That,
you know, there was things going on.
It's still a couple years, after Ernest Saves Christmas was the big first Hollywood production.
There was shooting Swamp Thing down here.
Yeah, yeah. Parenthood, right? They shot at least scenes of Parenthood.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
There was production
happening. Problem Child.
Yeah.
As opposed to today, where it's completely dried up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Republican legislature.
Oh, no
you
doubt.
Fucking douchebags.
That's another.
That's a third episode.
Those people in Georgia are happy, though.
Yeah,
Georgia, Louisiana, they're loving it in Louisiana.
Louisiana's a wrap, though. Louisiana's dead.
Is it?
Yeah.
They just did a shooting show there now that takes place in
South
Florida.
But the Ascent is left. You know what I'm saying?
So it's gonna dry up in the next year or two?
It's already dried up.
Is it really?
It's going back to Georgia. Much.
It's all Georgia. But the problem is with Georgia.
I'm so sick of all my TV shows looking like they're shot in Georgia. They all look the fucking same.
Yeah, it's super saturated there too. There are a lot of like professionals that have crazy credits that are having a hard time finding stuff. It's just
no shit.
There's just too many people. It's like the gold rush.
You know what I mean?
Like the film industry, we're like carny people. We're like, oh, let's go to that town.
You go to where the money is.
Pack the train, boys.
You gotta go where the work is, man.
Yeah. You know, it's very similar to that world.
Man.
So basically, my brother was an intern at SNL.
Okay.
And I was trying to make a go of it in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't popping. And my brother was just like, dude, just come back home. You know what I mean?
You got the connection already. Yeah, you're familiar with the place. Yeah. You have a history there.
I still got the bedroom from high school in my parents' house.
There you go.
No rent.
That helps a lot.
So let's go check it out. And I literally called them and told them I was a production assistant. I just graduated film school. They were like, when can you
start? No shit. We need PAs.
All it takes is a phone call at the right time.
At the right time.
I mean, no, but let me also add that my brother was an intern there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. So there is someone there. Yeah.
Yeah, and they remembered him, and he kicked ass over the summer.
That helps a
lot. So, yeah. So he was like, P.S. brother.
If he did a poor job.
I would have been a rap.
They're like, P.A. brother's brother? Yeah. No, we're full. No, we're shutting down production. SNL's canceled. You haven't heard? We're canceled.
They were like, hang up on that guy. No, it worked out dope. And
give the number for Mad TV.
It wasn't even... Yeah, it was around. I went back for a second. But, the first day was really fascinating to me because you get to peer behind the curtain.
It's your first real glimpse at like a high-end production. Yeah, it's a TV production, absolutely. But it's high-end.
They've it's been 30 Rock, weekend, man. Weekend.
Yeah.
It's NBC. It's 30 Rock. It's people walking in. You're like in your head. You're like, damn, that was, oh man, that was, ooh, what's that?
Yeah, right, yeah. And you're working on a show. Like, this is the show that Eddie Murphy saved, man. This is the show that built like Belushi's career and...
Yeah, the history of it. Yeah, it is intense. Yeah. And
but then let me ask you though, how long until it just became a job? How long did that take?
It never became a job.
It never just became a job. Absolutely you never became not. Old hat to you.
Nope.
Oh wow!
Absolutely not.
I was figuring maybe after a year or so.
That's
just Steve Martin. He's here every week.
Yo, dude. I mean, come on. You're walking around. You're hanging out with Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
You're literally hanging out by the craft service table.
That's pretty cool.
All these guys are turned on. They're switched on all the time.
Yeah.
They got an ear that they can pop jokes into. Mm-hmm. You're a victim. You're not going nowhere.
That's true. Yeah. They're always working.
They're on, and they're all super cool and super humble. And so, you know, Mike Myers is here. Dana Carvey is there. Phil Hartman. Victoria Jackson.
Yeah.
Chris Rock.
For the record, maybe it's just an age thing with when I was growing up, etc. But my favorite cast right there, that mid-90s cast.
Yeah.
Murderer's Row of crazy talented people.
Absolutely. Super, super, super talented.
Kevin Nealon. Adam Sandler. Yeah. Chris Farley. Yeah. David Spade. Come on, man.
Chris Farley was a trip, bro.
Yeah.
Chris Farley was in a halfway house when I was working over
there. Oh, really?
Nah, it wasn't like that.
Really?
He loved it.
He loved it?
That guy was a nut job.
He was a nut job, yeah.
He'd party in a morgue and have more fun than anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
So he was, I mean, we did this one skit, and he was sitting next to Victoria Jackson, and every time the director said action, he would squeeze her ass really hard. And she just didn't, they just knew it was Chris.
Yeah.
She didn't even care.
Just to get the rise out of her. him joking around.
He's a trip. So funny. And it's weird to be, like, I don't know, if you ever grew up with a bunch of funny dudes, or there was a bunch of funny dudes in your high school or whatever the case may be, if you took all the funny dudes from all the high school and put them in one room, it's just nonstop.
Just jokes everywhere.
Bang, 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 bang.
Almost to the point where I think it would be exhausting, right? To be like...
Yeah, it is. Well, one-on-one it is.
Someone be serious for a second.
In a group... Yeah, well, in a group... And plus, you're working, right? I'm doing stuff.
Yeah, you're working.
You know what I mean? I'm not hanging out.
You're making money.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of money. I was a PA at the beginning.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Not really make it. I mean, it's literally from holding cue cards to painting walls to, you know, getting stuff.
Yeah, whatever's needed.
You know what I mean? You know, and then one day I got to call the second AD the Mother's Day special.
What?
You know
Just
what I mean?
Like that?
No, that was after about a year of a year and no, actually 2 years.
Yeah, but they knew though. They must have known that that's something you wanted to do. You wanted to get into like actual technical work, chemical work beyond cue card stuff. Or did they do that at SNL where they find PAs? They're like, oh shit, we need someone to man this camera.
Cue, no, no,
put down those donuts and man camera three. All right,
no, it's not living in oblivion. No, it's union. You know what I mean? It's okay. Hardcore.
Okay, okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like a
people don't know nothing about unions in Florida. They've been demonized.
Yeah, that's true.
They think they're bad. They've been tricked. Yeah.
The thing really is, you know, if you're the first one there and the last one to leave, and you love it,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize this at the time. People are watching you, and people are talking about you, and they're going, oh, you know, he would be good at blah, 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 blah.
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean? And that's probably what happened.
You put in the work, you showed up, you did your good job, and okay, that makes sense. Sure.
Yeah. And then the Mother's Day special was a trip because here it is, I'm promoted second AD. Mother's Day special, I think they changed the tradition, but it was all the mothers of the cast.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So it was Rose Rock, Chris Rock's mom, mm-hmm. and it was Victoria Jackson's mom and Phil Hartman's mom and all their moms, and they're just as crazy as their kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That day, I left my wallet at home and couldn't pull the passenger van to drive them around.
What?
I thought I was a wrap for life. It was my career's
death. You already killed it on the first day.
Yeah, I'm done.
That's man.
I'm done. I'm like, okay, well, I could always go back to the Navy.
Go back to Orlando.
Yeah, I figured
maybe they're making another Ernest movie down there.
I was like, oh, it's a wrap. You know, I just, you know, basically, you know, got the courage to call my superiors and tell them what happened. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, just meet us over here and over there, you know, boom, 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 boom.
No big deal. It was bigger than your head.
They knew I had things to do, and I corralled the moms.
Yeah.
And what was cool was I got to hang out with the moms and somebody else was driving. You know what I mean?
I'm still... Cool. So you got to talk to them. Yeah,
so I got to hang out with
them. That's very cool.
That was super cool.
Yeah.
You know, so from there, right around that time, music videos are blowing up.
Yeah.
Right around that time.
90s are very big.
Yeah.
MTV.
It's a revolution.
Yeah.
A revolution. And the union guys used to walk by our sets and go, what movie is this? And we're like, nah, it's Biggie Smalls video or whatever the case may be. They're like, what? It's a music video.
Because of how big the production is, right?
Like,
yeah.
It just like taking over four city blocks.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? We've got trailers. We've got honey wagons. We've got gripping electric trucks.
Well, think about the remaking Beyond Thunderdome, Mad Max, Tupac video. It's like, you're going to go through all this. You're going to drive through the desert.
Yes.
You're going to do all this shit for a four-minute video.
Yes.
Yes, we are. And it's going to pay on MTV every hour on the hour for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And
pretty much.
Yeah.
And MTV is the biggest game in town. You know what I mean? There's no YouTube.
Yeah, it's you that, and I mean? I almost said the only game in town, but then there's VH1.
Yeah, but still,
there's some smaller channels, but MTV still, was like the monster of them all.
VH1 was pretty much for your parents at that time. Yes, MTV was for you.
That, if you want to hear a Christopher Cross song, you go to
VH1, right?
I don't know.
And so now I'm right at the point when all of this is blowing up beyond belief.
Right.
So when I first started out music videos, the budgets were like around $25,000, $30,000, right? By 1995, we're talking about $500,000 or better.
God damn, that's a lot of money.
It's a ridiculous amount of money. I mean, I think back to the amount of money that used to be spent on these videos, and like, it blows my mind now.
Like the movie you could have made. You could have made a full movie.
Jesus Christ. A whole Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Episodic, man. At least the pilot.
That's crazy.
Making a shot with some of this budget.
That is so much money.
But and what happened was I'm straddling the line between independent film in New York, commercials, and music video.
Okay.
But music video was paying me way more than everything else.
Interesting.
And it was shorter amount of time, and it was sexier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like...
And you can, you know? And because it's shorter, you can get more jobs done.
Yeah.
You get paid more.
Just clicking.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
We were all... Like, so we're bouncing back and forth between Hype Williams music videos and the people that were huge back then, you know, and, you know, Marcus Rayboy.
And what were some of your favorite music videos? So if you had to pick out, like, a couple that you really want people to look at, the ones that you're most proud of, you wanted to check out.
You know, it's hard to say, because...
Yeah, what are your favorite children? What are your favorite children?
Yeah. you know, I think I gotta think. You know what? Believe it or not, you know what music video I watched and I was fascinated by?
Mm-hmm.
It was an NXS music video, "Devil Inside."
Okay.
"Devil Inside." Believe it. I knew you didn't think I was probably gonna say that.
You were gonna go NXS? No.
Yeah, totally NXS. "Devil Inside." It was it was the art direction, the production design, the cinematography.
Yeah.
Was really appealing to me.
Interesting.
You know, I didn't know what I liked. You know what I mean?
And so then, and then you saw that and it jumped out at you.
Yeah, it totally jumped out at me. And
I'm pulling up here just so I can save it for later.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That music video was really Tears for Fears video, Shout.
Yeah.
Right? That was a big one for me.
Yeah, sure.
Right? I mean, I came into the world of music video during the 80s, so a lot of the music videos that I really gravitated to were New Wave.
Yeah, because that's what was popular.
It was New Wave videos, and I'm like, wow, these are dope. But,
Duran Duran, maybe?
Yeah, you know what? They started to... When something first comes out, it's leading the pack and it's dope.
Yeah,
and then everybody follows behind and imitates.
Sure,
you know what I mean. So the videos that were paradigm shifts, like Run DMC, right, with Aerosmith.
Yeah,
that to me, I see that and I'm like, yeah, we now people finally get it.
Right,
you know what I mean. Like hip hop is universal. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't have to be put in a box.
It crossed over.
Yeah. and that video actually created the idea that you could market a product with a music video.
That's true.
Because of Adidas.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it brought hip hop to a worldwide audience. And it brought Aerosmith back because they were doing like carnivals and shit.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And Holiday Inns.
That was like their third of five comebacks, I think. Yeah.
And then I have to say that, and then the Mac Daddy of them all is Thriller. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, of course. Yeah. Thriller, it's, John Landis, it's a John Landis movie.
It's a movie.
That's like when I talk about the T2 ride at Universal. That's a James Cameron film out there. That's not a ride. Yeah, you know, it's a $50 million James
it's
Cameron
a ride that you,
film. That you, yeah, 70 millimeter film is what's going
live
on.
Live in that motherfucker.
But so how did you hook up with Hype Williams specifically? How did that happen? Was it just like SNL? You gave him a call. Hey, I work. You need a guy? And he was like, yeah, come on over.
Nah, man. It's really... Is it another people you know type thing?
Connections?
Yeah. Because you know what? This is the entertainment industry, right? That you get to a certain level. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the same skill set. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that are good at what they do.
Yeah.
There's a good interchangeable
chunk. At that point, it's almost like you're choosing between personalities, not necessarily all that work. Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when you immerse yourself in a lifestyle, the people that are obsessed, right, you're going to rub elbows with.
Sure.
You're just living in that world where, you know, you're eating, living, breathing this medium.
Yeah.
So now you're associating with the people that are at the top of their game. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a grip or a second AD or a first AC or people that are even lower echelon, you know what I mean? They're the best of that position.
Still the best.
Right.
The best boy out there.
The best boy. Yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
You know, and then so that was my world. So there was a production coordinator who I had met years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was so dope that I would always recommend her to other people. And she was doing a music video with Hype in Hawaii, and they needed the first AD, and then that's how I got involved
there
in that
you
world.
Go. Okay,
you know what I mean? And he was a challenge from the word go. And mad props to that whole situation and blessings to him, because it's so funny because we had a little kind of ego clash. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because he's like king of the hip hop swagger R&B kind of glamorous hip hop. He's the ghetto fabulous king.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And to be that, you have to be very disciplined.
Sure,
right. And you have to understand art. Right. And I'm coming from a world that was really corporate at the time. You know, NBC and commercials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I dabbled a little bit in music videos and I got really good at what I did really quickly in that world. But I had one foot in, one foot out. So when we got to Hawaii, right, I didn't get any prep days. You know what I'm saying?
Just had to jump right
into
it?
I had to jump right in.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? And there was a lot going on.
And you need those prep days to figure out what's happening.
That's 90% of an AD's job.
It really is. You know what I mean?
It's like you got the preparation.
Yeah, you don't just show up on set and put a camera.
It's like, all right, you there.
Start filming. What? So filming what? What are we doing?
Exactly. So I just right in the soup right away.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he said to me at one point, because I think I was catching a little bit of an attitude. I was a little frustrated.
Yeah.
And he said to me at one point, he was like, yo, I don't understand if you know who I am. And he goes, I've done this, I've done that. And I said, well, I don't think you understand who I am. I can't believe I said that.
That's hysterical.
At the time.
Well, you could have been like, you could have massaged it though, but like, I worked at SNL. I peed next to Bill Cosby in a bathroom. I remember that story.
You remember that story?
I told it live. I remember that.
Oh, you got a good memory, man.
Yeah, I tried.
Yeah. So it was like one of those things, right?
Yeah.
And for the first bit of that first day, which was quite challenging because we were in Hawaii in the elements and with a diva, Mary J. Blige.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? And we're on a yacht and there's a helicopter.
Yeah.
And there's 17-foot swells. And Mary J. Blige almost drowned. And I had to swim her over the hype so he could swim her the rest of the way to shore.
Oh, my God.
Hype cuts off his feet on a mountain trying to get to a location. The cinematographer breaks his toe. You know, and
hell?
This is the first day of
day
three.
One.
Oh, that was day one.
Oh my God,
that was day one.
That's crazy.
And I felt for sure. I was like, well, they're probably gonna send me home, and I don't give a fuck.
Sure,
because I did my best.
You did your best, and it's already a fuck day
like,
anyway.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But the footage was amazing.
Yeah.
And Mary didn't know the drama, and her people didn't really know the drama. Mm-hmm. And even though a lot of them got seasick. Mm-hmm. We told them to stay at the resort, but they insisted on going out to sea.
That's their fault.
And
man.
It was whatever.
That's their
we
fault.
Told you to stay home.
Yeah.
Right. but then it was a situation where every day was quite challenging.
Yeah.
I thought I was sucking.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, we're on the plane heading back, and Hype is like, "Yo, I got this other video coming up. It's Busta Rhymes in New York. Put your hands where my eyes can see."
There you know go. Saying? That's so, how. So yeah,
and then it starts.
Yeah, you put your head down, right? Yeah, you had the little crash in the beginning. After that, you put your head down. You just did the work.
Yeah.
Hype saw it and respected the output, and that's how.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
that,
I,
that's very interesting.
Yeah, I went in 110%.
Yeah,
you know, so that paid off, and then you know, and then every video that we worked on, the guy's a legend in the business, especially during that era because. He introduced a style that was ready to be exposed to the world because rappers started making serious money, and it wasn't about rapping in an alley anymore or the junkyard. It was just like they wanted their lifestyle on camera.
Yeah, they wanted production value and costume changes.
They didn't even realize they wanted what they wanted.
Yeah, and then
I have to say, you know, it was Diddy and Hype coming together on the early versions of that, the early iterations of what was eventually going to be Get It Fabulous, was really Diddy and Hype coming together.
That's true.
And for me to be right there to see all of that happen, you know,
it's wild,
fascinating.
Man. Yeah, it's a wild spot to be in.
Yeah,
you're in the eye of the storm as it's forming. That's pretty. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
And they're absolutely insane motherfuckers.
Yeah, well,
they're crazy as hell.
I think you gotta be insane. Have you seen those videos lately? You gotta be insane to come up with some of those videos. Those Busta Rhymes videos. Drew and I fell down a Busta Rhymes music video hole a month or two ago on YouTube. Yeah. Just randomly. I don't even know how it happened. Just pulling up,
super
started watching.
Creative.
Yeah, and then we watched like four or five of them. And they're all kind of the same.
Crazy.
The fisheye thing.
Yeah.
But still. It's like,
well, the thing is, like, Busta understood that lens.
He knew how to play to it. He did.
Yeah.
And even the costumes and stuff, he knew how to make them.
Because Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See, it was literally Busta Rhymes telling Hype, yo, I want to remake Coming to America. You know what I mean? He was, I want to do that.
It's pretty much what it looks like.
Yeah. that was the plan.
It's pretty smart.
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy how...
Crazy production value on that.
The intersection between...
Still the most expensive hip-hop video ever.
I'm sure.
Around,
between the fucking dance... God, how much did that fucking elephant cost?
You know what's really funny?
You wait for Barman Bailey to be in town. He has friends for today.
Yeah, that elephant. That was a trip, man. They were trying to hot glue gun a tusk to the elephant.
Oh, poor.
Really?
And Hype was like, yo, stop what you're doing. Give the tusk to Busta. And now there's the motivation of why the elephant is chasing him.
Boom. There we go. Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
He's hot glue gun. Because
he's running down the hall with the fucking tusk in his hand.
Yeah. That's how that whole came about.
God, that's awesome. Idiots. Where was ASPCA? PETA or whatever.
Those monitors were there.
They just weren't looking at the elephant at that moment. Yeah. They got that paid to look away. That's funny. But then, so you're kicking ass in New York.
Yep.
You meet Hype, you're doing music videos, you're working with Busta, you're meeting the best of the best in every level, every position. How did you then end up back in Orlando? What you got family in New York?
Yeah.
Pierre's up there.
Yeah,
what's going on?
And
then you're like, you know what? I want to go back to the mosquitoes and the mugginess.
I want to go back to the swamp.
I want to go back to the swamp.
You know, it's really crazy. It's you know, I never really set out to be a first AD. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of fell in my lap. You know,
you started
what I mean?
As a production assistant, and then you got bumped up one day by SNL.
It wasn't really, you know, I just, at the very beginning, I just wanted the job, period. Yeah. I didn't know which one.
You just wanted to work in the industry.
Yeah.
It's funny how that happens to a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
They not sure how. They just want to be in the
business.
Just
want to be in the
mix. Yeah, sure.
Just want to be in the mix.
Yeah, sure. But
there was always a creative side of me from, you know, the earlier.
Going back to hip hop.
Yeah. So,
the birth of hip hop.
My brother and I decided to start a production company, and we did really well.
Mm-hmm.
We started a production company with Sadella Marley,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which Marley is that? Which one is
Sadella that? Is probably the second oldest sister.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, with Sadella Marley and her mom, Rita Marley, and we mm-hmm. had Tuff Gong Pictures
mm-hmm.
along with some other cats. We created that production company, and we were shooting at the same time that I'm PAing at SNL, we're shooting incredible music videos for reggae artists.
Mm-hmm.
So that led us to our first agent, you know what I mean? And then we were desperate to get into hip hop, mm-hmm. and we're doing these dope reggae videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our agent used to call us the Reggae Brothers, you know what I mean? She's like, really? Oh, Reggae Brothers. And we're like, yo, we just wanted some hip hop. And then we found a guy through our reggae connections that was just, he was just dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was the era of the new Jack Swing, and he just really knew how to rap to it.
Mm-hmm.
He had the swagger and everything. And that video led us to the first Cash Money video.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Because
once they saw that we could do hip hop, I was like, okay, now there's Cash Money.
Yeah.
So we do like one of the early Cash Money videos. Mm-hmm. Lil Wayne was like 15.
He was, you know what I mean? Still little. He was still little.
Yep. And then so what happens is, so my brother and I are a team, we're like the Hughes Brothers of hip hop. We're on the come up. Everything's great.
Nice.
But, you know, we basically, my brother really didn't want to be in that world.
Okay.
He really wanted to be in the corporate world. You know what I mean?
No, no.
So we parted ways. Mm-hmm. Amicably,
yeah,
you know, and I wasn't sure that I could direct on my own, really. I wasn't ready for that. So ADing, I just went back to ADing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then that took me to as far as I could take it.
Yeah.
And then it just started getting repetitive.
Yeah, sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. After a while, you learned everything.
Yeah.
And now you're not. Now
it's
you're
just like, I need to do something else.
You can continue being someone else's assistant director.
Yeah.
Or you can do your
and
own
you know
thing.
What? Yeah. The first time I ever saw an instructor at Full Sail, I knew I wanted to be an instructor one day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I knew I wanted to come back and give back. That place is magical. Cool. It's without sounding corny, it changed my life.
Yeah. Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And so the opportunity came about. I was ready for a change.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus, the budgets crashed on music videos.
Yeah, because it's still pre-YouTube, but the internet is starting to really pop at this point, right?
Now,
internet
what's really
speeds
interesting,
are finally starting to go up around the country.
Yeah, so, but it's around the time where, okay, now I have a choice.
Mm.
You know, I'm really gravitating towards wanting to give back in an official kind of way.
Yep.
Didn't really know how.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I want to start thinking about not being like, I want to own the intellectual property.
Sure.
Like, I'm making other people rich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
all my energy is going into, they get that music video and they're popping with it.
Yeah.
And they can make money for years. Meanwhile, I just get a check and it's done.
You get your check, you're out of there. That is the way it is.
So I had a friend who was like, dude, you need to start thinking about intellectual property.
There you go.
And I knew the only way that I could do that is if I was in a more stable lifestyle instead of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Flying back and forth between New York and LA and Miami and Toronto and South America and Hawaii and all that.
Yeah. It's hard to...
Can't focus.
You can't settle down on one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so
sure,
those
sure.
are the factors. It was, you know, when it's time to move on, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
You know, and then... the amazingness of that was something I could not conceive.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2 weeks ago, I get a call from a guy who used to be my PA,
mm-hmm.
right? And then he became my second AD.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first AD, right? Down in Miami 2 weeks ago
mm-hmm.
with DJ Khaled and Rihanna.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Look at that.
The producer of that music video,
mm-hmm.
Jay,
mm-hmm.
was in my first music video class that I ever taught.
Ah, there you go.
All right.
Look at that. Small world.
Right? And the production manager is a grad that I taught that I'm in business with right now.
Damn, that's crazy.
You know what I mean? So it just comes full circle. So that's when you know you're at the right place at the right time.
Because now you're seeing the fearless, so to speak. You're helping people, and they're taking that, and they're running with it, and they're doing this. Doing what you were doing.
I never really wanted a regular job, dude. Yeah. I never really wanted a regular job. I was just like, if I could figure out a way, not to become famous, not to become rich, if I could just figure out a way
to
make a living, hanging out with these amazing artists and having some small impact in the zeitgeist and in the culture, that's good enough for me, man.
That is for it's a lot of people, that thing. Is enough. And, and it's still even hard to get that. It's still even hard to get that point. There's still people struggling to, and they're working shitty jobs, still trying to figure out a way to live a happier life. And they seem to be doing it pretty well, dude.
Yeah. And you know, if we're going to talk about advice to up and coming filmmakers or anybody that's trying to be successful in anything, is you really, really need to spend 5 years of being consumed by what it is.
Sure.
You got to be willing to be like, hey, if I'm going to sleep on the couch, if I'm going to sleep in the car, I just got
to
do it.
You got to be willing to make the sacrifices, which includes amenities, luxuries, being uncomfortable at times.
I mean, if you think about the military, what's the first thing they do? They put you through boot camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're trying to weed out
they got to break you down before they can build you back up.
Yeah. And you got to do that for yourself.
No.
If you got the guts.
That's true. That's very true. So there you go. Three pieces of advice. Make sure you grow up in New York, know someone, and then have the guts to dedicate yourself to it. Actually, I think that third piece of advice is pretty good.
Yeah,
man. How did I want to wrap it up with this. How are you still then, now that you're here, you're an instructor, you're working with the kids and everything, but you're still making the videos, you're still getting that kind of work creatively. How is that coming to you? Is it coming to you? Do you have to seek it out? How's that working? Like a few years ago, what was it, 2 years ago you did the Boys to Men video?
Yeah, that's because of Full Sail. Because
of Full Sail, okay.
Absolutely, it's because of Full Sail.
Because then the crew that you work with is a lot of students, mostly students, is it not?
I would say it was 50-50 students and instructors. Yeah, okay. No doubt, but I no longer, it's bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If I can contribute a connection or a situation for the university, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because
it's going to help everyone.
It helps everyone. Yeah. And it's a unique kind of place in a sense that they give the students the ability to have the tools to create with a professional tools.
Yeah. Like high-end top. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen the stuff
you
over
know what
here.
Mean? So
and I've seen the work that comes out of that school. Yeah. Yeah. It's always impressive.
And then everything that you hear audibly or you see visually or anything that you play, right, to entertain yourself, it's all there.
Yeah.
You know, so there are ambitious kids at the university that get together and they on their own organically create amazing things.
Yeah.
You know, so just to be in that energy, like, keeps me up.
Yeah, sure.
Like, there are days when I'm, like, exhausted. I've been editing all night. I don't even really want to lecture. I'm just like, I can't wait to just get through this. And then once I'm in that classroom and I see the faces and we start, next thing you know, 8 hours later, I'm still there.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Because you're feeding into it. Yeah. It's a feedback loop of energy and creativity.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It's really cool
that you found yourself in a situation like that. It's super cool that the school is not a point where it's so big, the work is coming in, and you can help foster all those relationships and things like that.
Yeah.
It's good for the school. Yeah. It's good for students. It's good for guys like you, the instructors.
Yeah,
it's great for Orlando
because
then it makes people want to come here and use our amenities, even though our state government seems absolutely against it, 100%. They want to crush it under their boot heel.
It was really going to be, you gotta play your lane for Orlando. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Orlando can't be Hollywood. Orlando can't be.
It can't be Atlanta. Hollywood East.
It just needs to be what it is.
It has to be Orlando.
Yeah, and I think there is it like Orlando has this little vibe that Seattle used to have back in the grunge days.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit of what Williamsburg has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a lot of little, it's that hip Austin
type
vibe.
It's definitely smaller, but it's there.
Yeah, it's there.
It's there with the all the craft breweries and the food, all the different restaurants, the little the milk district and all the little hipster parts of town. Thornton Park, College Park. Yeah, it's definitely there and it can be cultivated and the talent is here. And the resources are here. Just need the jobs.
Well, yeah, just need the jobs. I think Orlando needs to make the jobs for themselves. Like the film community here needs to make stuff.
That's what
I not to wait for stuff.
Or to leave. Get here. What ends up happening is the talent leaves to go where the work is.
And I think
the work needs to be created here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Needs to be created here. You know, and once that happens, people notice.
Yeah.
You know, and then people go, oh wow, let's hire the guy that did this that lives in Orlando.
Yeah, hopefully a lot of the Moonlight people are getting some good work now after that movie, and then they're bringing more production to Florida, you know, because they filmed that down. Who do you know? Didn't you know someone?
Adela Romansky.
You know, one of the producers.
Yeah, I went to high school with her. She was in my graduating class,
and now she's an Academy Award winning producer.
See, that's more of that. It's eventually going to happen. It's going to find its own lane.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of like it this way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I kind of like it because it the cream rises to the top.
Sure,
you know what I mean. And nobody that is not prepared to represent something awesome is going to blow up from it.
Only the deserving will be the ones to end up representing. You know what? I hope so.
Yeah, me too, man. I really look at your show, man.
Hey, we're trying.
You guys are becoming iconic in this town.
Hey,
man.
Yeah, we're
see those stickers in a Publix parking lot.
There ain't no better movie podcast in all Florida. I'll tell you that right there.
Those Baldwin Park motherfuckers are lazy as hell with their sticker cleanup. We have not lived in that area in almost 2 years. Those stickers have been there for 2 years.
Yeah. I thought I saw a new one the other day, man.
Some of them hold up pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Some of them hold up pretty well. I gotta say, man. Carl, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I sprung that on you in the last minute. I wanted to talk about your career, but you did great. You didn't have to edit out nothing. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's what's up, man.
You did a good
job.
That's
what's up. I could do it. Can I do a little plug?
Please do. That's the end of the show.
Let's plug away. All right. So the production company is
creativemindsfirm.com.
We are working on a feature film.
Nice.
Right? Awesome. It's called Fat Chance, which was originally written for Ralphie May. But then the writer and the lead actress divorced Ralphie May. So now we got to find another Ralphie May type.
But didn't he... Lana Turner, right?
Lana Turner.
I watched that Limeade video.
Oh, you did?
All 30 minutes, Carl. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. I did. I was like, I'm going to watch this thing, man. And first off, I don't know how she was married to Ralphie May.
Right.
That's one of life's greatest mysteries.
I so wanted to...
It's up there with the Easter Island heads and our UFOs. Was real and how did he pull that? Secondly, didn't he leave her?
Not really.
I thought he broke up with her.
No. I mean,
because I was just gonna double down on my brain explosion for real.
Like, you know, Lana actually made that project to be cathartic for what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was after that.
I mean, I don't want to get into the. Her business and his business
fair enough.
But I think she puts it all out there in the videos. Like, you know, I mean, look.
It's a very straightforward video.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun. We didn't take it seriously. The reason why
it gets pretty dirty at times.
Oh, it gets insane. She's bananas.
Yeah, she is.
It's really weird when you see somebody that beautiful and their mouth is that filthy.
It's funny.
You really don't know how to act. Like, laugh. Should I be laughing with her? Or should I be
fucking with me? What's going on?
What's really going on? You know, and then she's completely comfortable in her own skin. And one of the reasons why we pull that off is she and Joey G, they want to build a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we needed a project to do together to see if we could pull off this feature.
True.
You know what I mean? So
now you're looking for a Ralphie May?
We're looking for a Ralphie May type because he has to do...
Well, look, I can stop running tomorrow. I can easily get that weight back
on. Dude, you want to audition?
I'll start bringing home donuts for you.
I'll bring home donuts. I mean, yeah.
I'm serious.
I'll audition to work with Lana Turner. I'll audition. I'll put me in front of... Dude. Let's do a camera test.
We could do it.
Let's do it.
Serious.
I'm in.
All right. Cool. So we're going to start principal photography hopefully in August.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We're already in the early stages of pre-production.
Exciting.
The script is really funny. You know, Fat Chance is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's basically a dance school
okay.
that is about to fold. And they figure that the only way they'll be able to save the school is to bring back their star, their kid superstar dancer.
Who's that old big fat guy?
Who's Ralphie?
Pounds. Oh, man. I'll give you all the physical comedy you need, man. I'll fall on my face. Give me some banana peels. I'll watch some old Buster Keaton stuff. Let's do it.
So that's the hilarity ensues from there.
I also love that it is a classic story trope of the school is closing. Yeah, yeah. We need to find a way to save the money to reopen it. Right. It's like it's an orphanage. It's a school. Yeah, it's something. Yeah, that is great.
A community center.
Community center. That's the Ali G movie. Community Center is so good. Right. Also, Black Sheep, going back to Chris Farley.
And we're shooting it all in Florida.
Which is amazing. You know what I mean? Yep. And it's creativemindsfirm.com. People check that website out. Anything else you want to plug?
That's it, brother.
Where can people find you on Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, things like that?
@VideoVerna.
VideoVerna. V-E-R-N-A. Yep,
that's correct.
Yep.
On all the services.
On all the services.
@VideoVerna.
Carl, thank you so much, buddy.
No worries, Chris. You're awesome. Thanks for having me, man.
You're the man. Drew, where can people find you online?
@antihero419 all over the internet.
Damn straight. Rate us, review us on iTunes. 5 stars, please. 4 stars, I guess. 3 stars? Go fuck yourself. Email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We're on Instagram, cinemacrespediso. Twitter, @crespediso. Cinemacrespediso was one letter too long. We'll be back this weekend with episode 232. It's a Father's Day show, and we have a father scheduled to be here, so we'll see if he's actually here. I don't know if he knew that.
No, he probably doesn't.
He probably doesn't. I did schedule him in the throes of post-operation surgery. So we're going to have to... but we'll be back, guys. I look forward to talking to you soon. Peace out.